Very warm welcome to you all to our service of Holy Communion. Welcome back if you've been away on holiday. Welcome if you've come for the first time for a long time. It's just great to see you here. I only have one real notice to give out, and it's to remind you that next Sunday is the Malvern Wells Village Fete. And do make your way down there after church, because we won't be having our shared lunch here on that Sunday. We'll have it as a picnic down on the village green. So do come along to that. We're starting a new series today on questions Jesus asked. And this morning we're looking particularly at the question, who do you say I am? We're going to begin with a hymn that tells us who Jesus is. His is the name high over all. So let's stand and worship the Lord together. Grace, mercy, and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ be with you. Let us sit or kneel for a quiet time of confession as we come before the Lord this morning. Hear the words of comfort our Saviour Christ says to all who truly turn to him. Come to me, all who labour and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Hear what St. Paul says. This saying is true and worthy of full acceptance, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. So let us confess together. Father eternal, giver of light and grace, we have sinned against you and against our neighbour in what we have thought, in what we have said and done, through ignorance, through weakness, through our own deliberate fault. We have wounded your love and marred your image in us. We are sorry and ashamed and repent of all our sins. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, who died for us, forgive us all that is past and lead us out from darkness to walk as children of light. Amen. Almighty God, our Heavenly Father, who in his great mercy has promised forgiveness of sins to all those who with heartfelt repentance and true faith turn to him, have mercy on us, pardon and deliver us from all our sins, confirm and strengthen us in all goodness, and bring us to everlasting life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Our next two songs are in a way an answer to the question, who do you say I am? We're going to sing two songs twice through Jesus, name above all names. Let's stand to worship him.
Thank you.
Please be seated for our reading. And Carol is going to come and read today's gospel reading to us.
The reading is Matthew chapter 16, verses 13 to 18. And I'm sorry, I forgot to look up the page number in the Bible. When Jesus came to the region of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, "Who do people say the Son of Man is?" They replied, "Some say John the Baptist, others Elijah, and still others Jeremiah, or one of the prophets." "But what about you?" he asked. "Who do you say I am?" Simon Peter answered, "You are the Messiah, the Son of the living God." Jesus replied, "Blessed are you, Simon, son of Jonah, for this was not revealed to you by flesh and blood, but by my Father in heaven. And I tell you that you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of Hades will not overcome it."
Let us pray together. Scripture I read just earlier this morning was this word in Ephesians 6. The sword of the Spirit is the word of God. So Lord, this morning, to us, to all your people, wherever they are gathered, may your word be the sword of the Spirit which pierces through our hearts, through our unbelief, through our hardness, through our questions, our doubts, everything that troubles us in life. Reach right down your sword to bring life and bring understanding in the name of Christ our God. Amen. Sometimes we have just the need to get away, to see life differently. A holiday, a short break, get life back in perspective. Well, this is exactly what Jesus does in these wonderful verses Carol has just shared with us. He takes a 20-mile walk with his disciples up to Caesarea Philippi, away from Galilee, away from the fishing world, away from the known. And they come to Caesarea Philippi, a great cosmopolitan city built in honor of the Caesar. They're by a gleaming temple of white marble built to the godhead of Caesar, the ruler of the world, Caesar the God, as they believed. 14 temples, markets, baths, arenas, cosmopolitan, if ever there was such a one. A bit like taking 12 men from Morven who'd never before left these wonderful hills, 20 miles north to Birmingham. And there they are at Spaghetti Junction. Wow, what a world. Totally different from anything they knew. And for Jesus, time is getting short. Who understands him and his message? Who carries on after his work, because already he's moving to Jerusalem and to the cross? Who is an ally? And at this moment, he asks two questions, but I've added a third, which I think is implicit in them. And Jeff has done great work in getting them up. Here's the first one. Who do they say you are? So these are the three questions. Who do they say, Lord, that you are? Who do I say, Lord, you are? And who do you, Lord, say I am? So those are our three questions over the next few minutes. First of all, they. Who do they say? John the Baptist, risen from the dead. Those two great prophets in the Old Testament, in the Hebrew Scriptures, Jeremiah, Elijah, high credentials. One of the prophets. What do people around you in your life say about Jesus? Do you know, I find this very difficult because I never really dare ask anybody. It's not a question in our society that you ask. We are a secular society. There's actually no God language among us. I used to say to people, God bless you. Now I just say, bless you. A mission partner came back from Uganda a few years back and just said, there's no God language here. In the UK, in the West. I remember talking with Muslims when we were overseas, and they had such a God language. Jesus, yes, a prophet, yes, the Word of God, born of a virgin. The Sufis, the mystical followers of God in Islam, say he's a holy man. Close to God. And I remember one Sufi leader saying, as I joined in a prayer worship with the Sufis, saying, you in the West, and he was pointing at me, he said, you have deserted God. You have left your God, the person you call your Savior. You've run away like Judas. You are the traitors. And I had no answer. I just bowed my head and said, yeah, I think you're right. But people around you, who do they say? I think it was Seamus Heaney, the wonderful Irish poet, who said about the age in which we live, he said, the importance of the transcendent has gone from all our discourse. The transcendent, the importance of the transcendent. And the question from that is how to rediscover the dimension beyond the physical so that we can talk to people or people can talk to us about that which is, as one man put it, a theologian, the beyond in our midst. I just love that phrase, the beyond, however we conceive the beyond, actually in our midst. Who do they say? Lord, you are people around us. And then the next one is, who do you say that I am? Or here it's, who do I say, Jesus? Sorry, who do I, Paul, you say, you, God, Jesus, are. And one commentator says, this is such an important question. It involved the survival of the Christian faith. On this question depends the survival of the Christian faith. We had a wonderful men's breakfast yesterday. I think there were 44 men there in Wetherspoons. And Dave, our vicar, was speaking. And he said two questions that were with him at the beginning of his sabbatical was, who am I? And we'll be coming to that in our third one. But he said, who are you, Lord? Who am I? Who are you? Last week, a member of my family, a week before that, on our holiday, said to me, this is my sister actually, she said, Paul, when did you really come to faith? And I thought she must have known, but she didn't. I said, well, it was at a children's mission. It was in Crickith, North Wales. I was aged 9 at the time. And I found Jesus to be my friend and my saviour. I can remember Mr. Hudson Pope, great children's evangelist, standing up and just talking about Jesus for the kids, for boys, for girls. Jesus as the friend, Jesus as the saviour, and giving us the opportunity to accept Jesus even at that age. It was a moment in my life. Now you may have a moment in which you say, Lord, this is who you were for me at that moment in my life. It may be that for some of us, and I think probably in a sense for me too, it's also a process. You get to know more and more, though often it's two steps forward and one step back. Or some of you may say it's two steps back and one step forward, but it's a process of life. Some may be very honest with themselves and with the Lord and say, actually, Lord, I don't really know, but this I know. I'm in church this morning because I know, but I can't tell you quite how I know. And there may be some even in this church or online listening to this, and you say, well, to be honest, I'm not sure, and I'm not even sure I can put any words together. But there is something beyond. There is what Seamus Heaney taught, the transcendent in our midst and in my midst. I love Thomas. I love him because he so wanted and so yearned for the friendship of his Lord. Yes, he doubted. Yes, he said, unless I put my finger in his side and my hand, unless I see with my eyes, I will not believe. But that's the very man who actually said to the other disciples, let us go to Jerusalem and die with him. He is the man who at the climax of St. John's Gospel uses those amazing words, my Lord and my God. That's Thomas. Whatever doubts you've got in you, you need them, because faith has doubts within it. But faith is bigger even than doubts. My Lord and my God. A wonderful example, I think, of somebody who is in that situation and who is able still to say, I'm hanging on. And I love these words. The Lord goes on to say, says to Peter when he says, you are the Christ, the living God. He says, flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, but my Father who is in heaven. These wonderful words, aren't they? You don't understand this with your mind, however great you may be in philosophy or degrees or whatever you may think. You don't need to, and that's of course is such a relief to those of us who don't have that kind of mind. But he says, my Father who is in heaven, there's something more than the mind and the rational. I love the story of C.S. Lewis. He got on a bus and he says, I didn't believe in Jesus Christ. On the top of the bus, and he gets to the end of his journey, he gets off and he says, when I got off, I knew I did believe. Isn't that wonderful? On top of a bus. Not the great thing in the mind, whatever great mind C.S. Lewis had. It was something of the heart. I didn't believe. I did believe. One of the great privileges I've had in my life with Diana is to lead retreats in the Sinai Desert. We've led four in the heart of the desert in Sinai, where the revelation of Moses and where Elijah himself went to find fresh inspiration. And at the beginning of one of these weeks, a woman came up to me. She'd been a mission partner in Uganda for many years. She'd come back home and she was looking after the rest place where mission partners and others could go to find refreshment, recuperation, a place called St. Julian's in Sussex. And she came on this retreat, and at the beginning of the week, I remember she came to me and she said, Paul, I'm so devoted to God, but I've never been able to say, Lord, I love you. So I said, well, Joyce, you know, who knows what's going to happen this week? The end of the week, and we spent a lot of time in that week just sitting quietly in desert places with the Lord, with ourselves. And she came up to me and said, Paul, for the first time in my life, and this was a woman well into her late 60s, for the first time in my life, I can say to the Lord, Lord, I love you. I mean, wasn't that amazing? It's a process for her, even at that stage of her life. I love you, Lord. Flesh and blood does not reveal this. It's my Father in heaven. Let's just pause a moment. Pause for each of us, Lord, to say to you, Lord, who are you? I know and yet I don't know. There is so much more. Give me, give us a new way of seeing. St. Paul talks in his wonderful words in Ephesians that the heart, your heart, might be the eyes of your heart. That's the phrase. The eyes of your heart may be enlightened. Wonderful words. Lord, enlighten our eyes. We go out of church this morning with eyes that are opened up in some new way. Which will be different for each of us, and yet you're at work. Just thank God that He's the one who will open your eyes. Who do you say that I am? You might just use a word, if you can, or even without words, dwell in that presence. And just say, thank you, Lord, thank you. The last question, really, I think, is implicit in what the two we have just been looking at. It's the Lord Himself who says, have we come on to the third? Well done, Jeff is there. Who do I, the Lord, say you are? How do you see me? He's speaking particularly to Peter, but Peter representing the apostles, the church of God. Peter, who so let Jesus down, Peter, who deserted the Lord with all the people around him in that group. They all left him and fled, if you remember. Peter, you are the rock, and on this rock I build my church. On this rock, Peter, on you and on what you have confessed, I build my church. Peter, you are not perfect, but you are forgiven. I love these words. I have them on my study desk. You might find it difficult to see it from if you're listening from home. Not perfect, just forgiven. Isn't that wonderful? Not perfect, just forgiven. Last week, Heather spoke to us very movingly about Gideon, if you remember, and how there were, is it 20,000 in Gideon's army to fight against the Midianites, and in the end it came down just to 300. And the Lord said, I can defeat the Midianites through 300 people, which he does. And Heather linked this with a wonderful verse in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, when the Lord says to St. Paul, and he says to his people in Corinth, he says, you are like an earthenware vessel, an ordinary kitchen vessel. If I drop it, it will break. This is how you are. And through you, the amazing, wonderful light can shine in darkness. You are flesh, you are frail, you are weak. But I need that weakness, because only in that way can my light shine in the darkness. And then she went on to say, and I think it was from 2 Corinthians chapter 10, and she said, it was a wonderful talk Heather gave us. She said, three times the Lord asked, take this away from me, my thorn in the flesh. You know, some of you have prayed all kinds, Diane and I are praying something very deep in our own family at the moment. Lord, we want an answer to this. And the Lord says, do you remember those wonderful words, 2 Corinthians 12:10, I think, my grace is sufficient for you, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. And Paul says, therefore I will rejoice in my weakness, because in that way, Lord, your strength, your light shines in me and shines through me. Your grace is sufficient. Your grace. I love the story of Karl Barth, the greatest theologian, arguably, in the last century, when at the end of his life, this great Swiss theologian, he was asked, they said to him, Professor Barth, what's the heart of your faith? And he said these words, Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so. Little ones to him must come. I am weak, but he is strong. Isn't that wonderful? I'll just end up with a story from our holiday just a couple of weeks ago. We went down to Devon, and I'm a great lover of fish and chips, and I crept away from our family. And you can do this with about 12 or 13 of us, so you can creep away and no one quite notices, except one's wife, of course. But I crept away to a little fish and chip shop, and I found you could get cod and fish for £6, which isn't too bad in the present circumstances. So I went into the shop and I got my cod. Here it is. I've got my chips here. And I did this last week, is how I got hold of this again. I think Diana knows I went. Here they are, here's the chips, and the cod was all here. And I sat down, about to start, and I thought, oh, I need a glass of water. So I popped back into the fish shop again and said, can I have a glass of water? And then I noticed on the side there, a cross. And I said to the man, I said, oh, it's wonderful. I said, you know, are you a Christian? He said, oh, yeah, I am. And he produced two other crosses from behind different bits of pictures and things. And yes, he was from Portugal. He was a Catholic, a Roman Catholic, and he said he worshipped just up the road in Tynmouth in Devon. We had a lovely chat, and I said this was very important to me. In a way, he gave me a big glass of water, and out I went again to sit down in the open air. The fish had gone. Do you know where it had gone?
Seagulls.
Well done. Well, seagulls had come. And I sat down, oh, and there they were, and they got some chips. So I said, oh, well, I said, well, I'll enjoy these chips. And the fellow in the table next door was looking at me, and he said, you know. And then he got up, and he went into the fish shop, and he came out, and he had twice the size of cod that I'd bought, the cheap one, small one, a huge piece of cod. He said, enjoy, went sat again. And when they got up to leave, he and his wife and two kids, I just said, you know, thank you. And I thought about this, and I thought, this is how God makes us feel valuable in life. It's through someone else, often. The Lord uses someone else. What they say, what they do, a look in the face, something that touches us and says, you are of value. That was God saying it to me as I look back and as I thank God for that man. Never see him again. So, Lord, as we just have a moment of quiet, you say to us, I say to you, you are of such value this morning. I am your Lord, your Saviour. Give my life for you. I come now in bread and wine in a few minutes for you to take my broken body, my shed blood, poured out for you. Come with your empty hands. Come and receive. You are mine. I am yours. I need you. You need me. Come. Come, take of me the living bread. Amen. I think now we're going to say the creed together, because this is us saying in words going way back many centuries, Lord, this is who you are. This is who we are.
So let's and together and say the words of the creed. Together we say, I believe in God, the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended to the dead. On the third day he rose again. He ascended into heaven. He is seated at the right hand of the Father, and he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Let's sit or kneel as Diana comes now to lead our intercessions.
So let us pray. So who are we? It says in the Bible, those who trust in the Lord, those who hope in the Lord. We're those who hope in the Lord. We wouldn't have turned up if we didn't. But the note said, those who hope in the Lord are those who trustfully look to him to bestow life and blessings as a gift. Lord, thank you that we can look to you to bestow on us life and blessings as a gift. And so we start by being aware that the God of glory and the God of the everyday is here with us, each of us. And so we pray, starting with those Christians, maybe even us in some ways who don't know they're loved by God, those who feel they have to earn the love of God. And all of us need to grow in the awareness. None of us have fully grasped the length and breadth and height and depth of the love of God. But St. Paul prays that we may know it. And he says, although it's beyond knowledge. So it's, Lord, open our hearts to know your love more. To know more that you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. You're both transcendent and yet you're in the middle of wherever we're at. Thank you. So we start our intercessions with praying for ourselves. And then we pray for those who don't know who Jesus is. This is the majority of people, actually. Maybe a friend, a neighbour, a relative. Let's think of perhaps one person who doesn't know who Jesus is, doesn't know that he walks alongside them, doesn't know that he can be loved by them. Father, we pray for them that they may know who Jesus is. Father, you can open the door of heaven. You can open the eyes of their heart. And so pray that you will do that. And maybe we pray, Lord, you will use us, because Paul talked about someone else explaining the love of God. May we be those who draw alongside and affirm and show the love of God to people. So thinking of that, we pray for our village fete and the church tent. And here are people coming to the church tent who don't know you, lots of them. And we pray there may be those in the tent who can speak to them. We pray for those who set the whole tents up and do the work and bring the messy church stuff and stand there and have opened a way forward for these people to connect with God. So we pray for real blessing on that time of the fete, and blessing on all those who come and those who set it up and work there. And pray for two other things too, Lord. Pray for schools and universities, all who are returning, from those who are returning to nursery, to schools, to uni, those who are starting a new phase, having left school or uni. Lord, may they walk knowing that you go ahead of them, you walk beside them. Be there, may they know you as their friend. And for those who go to university, and I remember my daughter having on her desk at university two things: invitation to a pub crawl and invitation to Christian Union. And Lord, just guide those who leave home and go to university, that they may find you. The very active Christian unions that are in so many places. And we pray also for our NHS and the negotiations and the government. And the way I'm going to suggest we pray for it is to think of, on one side the doctors and the other side the government, and Lord, come and stand between them. And show them a way of negotiating. And we ask for justice and fairness and openness. You can reconcile, but and thank you, Lord, that somehow or another you're at work in this too. And we pray for those negotiations and openness. And so also, finally, we pray for ourselves that the eyes of our heart may be opened. And we pray for you to come into the struggles. Everybody has struggles. Sometimes they're huge, sometimes they're smaller. So wherever we're at, Lord, we invite you to come into the depths of this, and in faith we reach out to you. And we thank you that there's no place where you are not. And we thank you that you meet us, and that each of us is loved by you. Thank you, Lord Jesus. And we say together, at the end, what we say, merciful Father, that's what we say. Merciful Father, accept these prayers for the sake of your Son, our Saviour, Jesus Christ. Amen.
Thank you, Diana. Before we stand and share the peace together, I have been asked by our rector and by our church council to make an announcement about communion in All Saints. Our bishop has requested that all churches in the diocese go back to administering communion in the way we used to before COVID, sharing one cup from which we all drink. And we're going to try and do this here, not today, but the next time we have Holy Communion. We're also going to go back to using bread for this, not wafers, but the bread we shall use will be gluten-free bread. However, because some of us have concerns about drinking from a common cup, we're also going to continue to offer wafers dipped in a cup by the clergy, as we have been doing, and we shall use a different cup for this. How will it work in practice? Well, if you wish to receive a wafer dipped in a cup for communion, and we call this communion by intinction, we will ask you to come forward to the rail first. Then, after all, who want communion in this way have received, we will invite all who wish to share the common cup to come forward to receive the gluten-free bread and to drink from the shared cup, which we will wipe with a purificator each time. Now, this is a trial just for the moment, and we ask for your patience and cooperation as we try and do this. If you have any comments or questions, please do have a chat with me afterwards. Let's stand to share the peace together. We are the body of Christ. By the one Spirit, we've all been baptized into the one body. The peace of the Lord be always with you.
And also with you.
let us share a sign of peace with one another. Peace be with you. Our communion hymn recognizes that our Lord Jesus Christ has combined meekness, majesty, manhood, and deity in perfect harmony. Have a sit or stand, Paul, for communion. Please be seated, and Paul's going to lead us now in communion.
See you. Thank you. Thank you. Just to say, there's prayer at the back of the church after. There may be someone here who just feels, Lord, open my eyes more. Let me see you, the transcendent, come to me where I am in my life. So do go and seek prayer, or just for your own healing, for you or for someone else on your heart. And as we come to communion, we're going to use this beautiful liturgy we quite often use from Iona. A couple of days ago in the church calendar, we were thanking God for St. Aidan, who went from Iona to Lindisfarne, and Dave was sharing yesterday at the breakfast about his journey of faith, really, from Iona to Lindisfarne. And it's used right throughout the world in different ways, so it's a beautiful, beautiful liturgy. And I'm going to suggest we do things slightly differently, because it's all about Jesus with us in our daily life. And I always see a church a bit like the nave is where our daily life, it's where we experience the beyond in the midst, The beyond is the chancel, and we often need to go up there too to receive communion from the Most High God. But today it's down to earth, Jesus walking with us as we shall share in our liturgy. And so when you come forward, perhaps we could just form a half circle, stay until each has received the bread dipped in the wine, and Suki and I will offer this to you. At the end, just retire and the next lot come, and that's a way of us just receiving together. It's a lovely way of saying I'm receiving, but I'm receiving in the body of Christ, of Christ's broken body. And we have here, we have the wine, we have the wafers, we have gluten-free bread here for those who would like it, and we have non-alcoholic. So just let Suki and me know what it is that you would like. So the table of bread and wine is now to be made ready.
This is the table of the coming of Jesus
for all those who love him. It is the table of sharing with the poor of the world, with whom Jesus identified himself.
It is the table
of communion with the earth, in which Christ became incarnate. So come to this table, you who have much faith, you, and I guess it's all of us really, who would like to have more, you who've been to this sacrament often, you who may not have been for a long time, you who've tried to follow Jesus, and you failed, as we all have failed. Come. Christ, who invites us to meet him here. Blessed is our brother Jesus, who walks with us the road of our world's suffering, and who is known to us in the breaking of bread. Quite often put on this stole, which is from Peru and which just unites us with God's worldwide church this morning in whatever situation of receiving the body and blood of Jesus, whether an underground church, whether overground but in fear, whether with the freedom we have but sometimes with small numbers, but to all of us, the bread and the wine, the broken body and blood of Jesus. And on the night of his arrest, Jesus took the bread, and having blessed it, he broke the bread and gave it to his disciples, saying, "This is my body, my broken body, given for you." In the same way, he took the wine, and having given thanks for it, he poured it out and gave the cup to his disciples, saying, "This cup is the new relationship with God, sealed with my blood. Take this and share it." I shall drink wine with you next in the coming kingdom of God. Loving God, It is through your goodness that we have this bread and wine to offer, which earth has given and human hands have made. As we recall the one perfect sacrifice of our redemption, Father, by your Holy Spirit, let these gifts of your creation be to us the body and blood of our Lord Jesus Christ. Form us into the likeness of Christ and make us a perfect offering in your sight. And so together, seated, or if any care to kneel, do feel free to kneel. We say the prayer that our Saviour himself taught us. Beginning, Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. Forgive us our sins, as we forgive those who sin against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours, now and forever. Amen. Look, the body of Christ is broken for the life of the world. Here is Christ coming to us in bread and wine. So God, for the people of God, come.
Together we pray. We thank you for this meal and for welcoming us to your table. We remember that we are your children and that you have called us to share your love with everyone we meet. Help us to receive your life, walk in your strength, and follow your ways every moment of our lives. Amen. Our closing hymn celebrates the splendor of the King. Please stand.
Save us, Lord.
Heavenly Father, please accept these gifts as a token of our love for you in Jesus Christ. Amen. We sit or kneel for the blessing. May the love of the Lord Jesus draw us to himself, the power of the Lord Jesus strengthen us in his service, and the joy of the Lord Jesus fill our hearts, and the blessing of God Almighty, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit be among us and remain with us always. Amen. Do join us for coffee at the front or prayer at the back as we go in peace to love and serve the Lord in the name of Christ. Amen.